right now on VFN TV, a prophet named Kim Clement prophesied about these days that we're in. We're going to hear the prophecy. He talked about Time Magazine. He talked about Newsweek. But we're going to find out about The View. It actually happened, just like he prophesied about our presidency. Also, we're going to hear from the second richest man in America, Warren Buffett, and what he has to say about our economy, what he has to say about healthcare. It's going to be really encouraging. Finally, we have great victories at the Supreme Court for liberty, for First Amendment rights, for churches to be able to get federal funds for parks. So many great things taking place right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This administration remains committed to serving all students, especially the most vulnerable. As we've seen in states around the country, these students particularly benefit from school choice programs.
And this is what God said to me on that phone. He said, the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise.
Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched.
Does it look like Tomahawk missiles in Syria? Does it look like Moab bombs in Afghanistan? Does it look like the carrier group right off the coast of North Korea?
President Trump, once again, please, sir, what you did was amazing. What you did was a powerful message of hope for a lot of people inside and outside of Syria. Please, don't stop on this.
In my first 100 days, I appointed and confirmed a Supreme Court justice in the mold of the late, great Antonin Scalia. And now, Justice Gorsuch has a seat on the United States Supreme Court.
Of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God.
We are celebrating the dignity of work and the greatness of the American worker. Today, this is the message I want every young American to hear. There is dignity in every honest job, and there is nobility in every honest worker.
It's hard to unify the country, though, with the news media being so split up. When I was president, you mattered a lot more because there was like three of you.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say, but nay.
Bureaucrats think they can run over your lives, overrule your values, and tell you how to live. But we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community. We know that parents, not bureaucrats, know best how to raise children and create a thriving society. Yesterday, we signed historic agreements with the kingdom that will invest almost $400 billion in our two countries and create many hundreds of thousands of jobs in America and Saudi Arabia.
That is now the lowest unemployment rate since May 2007. Think about that for a minute.
The NASDAQ is up 15 of the 18 trading days so far this month. If it maintains that pace, it'll be the most winningest month for the index since September of 1996.
Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS in Syria, in Iraq, across the region, but as I said, not just financially, but actually with its own troops and with its own people.
Muslim-majority countries must take the lead in combating radicalization. There can be no coexistence with this violence. There can be no tolerating it, no accepting it, no excusing it, and no ignoring it. If we do not stand in uniform condemnation of this killing, then not only will we be judged by our people, not only will we be judged by history, but we will be judged by God.
Mr. President, we are happy to see that America is back in the area. America is back again.
On my first trip overseas, I've come to this ancient land to reaffirm the enduring friendship between the United States and the state of Israel. And it will always be enduring. And that's number one to me.
For the first time in many years, and Mr. President, for the first time in my lifetime, I see a real hope for change. Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you went to the Western Wall and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it.
Words fail to capture the experience. It will leave an impression on me forever. Israelis have experienced firsthand the hatred and terror of radical violence. Israelis are murdered by terrorists wielding knives and bombs. Hamas and Hezbollah launch rockets into Israeli communities where school children have to be trained to hear the sirens and to run to the bomb shelters with fear, but with speed. And Iran's leaders routinely call for Israel's destruction. Not with Donald J. Trump. In my short time in Washington, I've seen firsthand how the system is broken. America has always been the land of dreams because America is a nation of true believers. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth, they prayed. When the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, they invoked our Creator four times. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God.
God said that this wealth in the last days is going to be transferred onto the saints of God. There's going to be a wealth transfer, and God's going to make a host of his last day church to come into great wealth. You have been faithful over the few. You have tithed. You've given offerings. You've given the building programs. You've helped the poor. You've given gifts. And God said, now I'm about to pour out upon you restoration and blessings like you've never had them before. God sent me here as a prophet to say to you, God is about to give wealth transfer in these last days. And you need to believe it.
I would say to you, this is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster and I'm so excited that you've joined us. Listen, I don't know if you know, we played a particular prophet that has passed and gone on to be with the Lord, and he prophesied very specifically about this presidency and what God was going to be doing, and it's just so confirming. His name is Kim Clement. And one of the prophecies you saw in our introduction some time back was, he said this 2 years back, actually 2007 is when the prophecy came in, he said that when President Trump, when this particular man gets into place, who's God's going to make him a trumpet in these different words, and you'll hear in just a moment, he said that Time magazine would have to announce this is true, that Newsweek would have to say that it's true, and Newsweek already had a magazine cover printed up with Hillary Clinton as the president. They had no idea. Most people had no idea that this was going to happen, that President Trump was going to be president, and so they had to change covers and put President Trump on it. But one thing that hasn't happened yet in that prophecy that we saw, but it has happened just recently, was that the part of the prophecy was Time magazine, Newsweek, but also The View. It's a program with these ladies that talk about different topics and all that, and they were totally against, you know, President Trump, it seemed like. But in the context of that, the prophecy was they would have to acknowledge him and they would have to support him. Well, that happened with Bloomberg being on The View, and it just took place. So I want you to go back. I want you to hear this prophecy from Kim Clement. You're going to see the Time magazine. You're going to hear what's saying. You're going to hear the Newsweek. But this time, you're going to go and hear what happened on The View. You'll hear him say, and even The View will have to acknowledge it. Check it out.
Trump shall become a trumpet, says the Lord. When Time magazine will have no choice but to say what I want them to say. Newsweek, what I want to say. The View, what I want to say.
Let's just all hope that Donald Trump is a good president of the United States. He's our president, and we need this country to be run well. I didn't vote for him, but I think I would not make the mistake Mitch McConnell said when Barack Obama was elected, let's make him a one-term president. Yeah. Let's not make this work. And I thought, that's our country. That's my kids and my grandkids. We have to make it work. You have an election. Whoever wins, then we got to get behind and work. And you can run against somebody else. But the difference between America and some other countries, in other countries, if they lose an election, they try to tear down the government. They try to have a revolution. We should sit back and say, okay, 4 years from now, how do I get my person, my woman, or my man elected? And that's very different.
But the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way, and the economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts.
Says the Lord of hosts. I mean, you're seeing it. It just happened with Bloomberg coming on The View, and God said in 2007 this would take place, and all these things are taking place. And one of the awesome things that's being said that God said prophetically was that God's going to do something brilliant that's going to shift this country economic standing around, and prosperity would come back to America. And after this break, we're going to hear from Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, out of the Fortune 500, he's the second richest man in America to buy stock in his company. I believe it's called Berkshire Hathaway. It's like $250,000 plus just to buy one share in his company. And he's going to talk about the economic turnaround that was prophesied about. It's very exciting. Join us after the break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're so excited about the marriage encounter. So many people are complaining about what marriage has turned into. A lot of people are not even going to be married anymore, and people are giving up on it. You don't have to. Listen, God's plan is marriage. And at the marriage encounter with VFN, we want to bless you. The VFN Kingdom Business, we're focusing on you, your family, and your marriage. It's called Love and Respect. We have a special thing for you, an entire weekend. It's going to bless your family. It's going to give you tools to be able to relate. And let me tell you something. Once we understand each other, we can relate to each other. And we're going to leave with tools that are going to empower you. As a matter of fact, here's Emerson now with Love and Respect.
Hi, I'm Emerson Eggerich, founder and president of Love and Respect Ministries. What is the Love and Respect message? Well, the University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years and discovered that the key to a successful relationship is love and respect. What I found interesting is that the Bible said that 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 5:33, that a husband must love and a wife must respect. It's gender specific. I always insert, we all need love and respect equally. Women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T and men need L-O-V-E. But there's a felt need that differs in conflict between men and women. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel unloved at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. And here's what happens. It kind of gets crazy because she's not trying to be disrespectful. He filters it through that grid, though. When she feels unloved, she reacts in a negative way, which ends up feeling disrespectful to him. She's not trying to be disrespectful, but he feels disrespected. And then when he reacts in a negative way, he's not trying to be unloving, but she feels unloved. And so you have this confusion, and it results in a crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and this baby spins. Again, we all need love and respect equally, but the felt need often leads to the crazy cycle. Can you relate to that? And how to get on what we call the energizing cycle. In fact, it applies to parent-child. It applies to all relationships, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, in the work arena or elsewhere.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFNTV. I'm so excited to be able to share with you what Warren Buffett's saying about the economy, about stock market, and so much more. But first, we want to look at the fulfillment of the prophecy that was given by Kim Clement. When you look at the presidency that's in place and the first cabinet meeting of the president, it will just bless your heart, because it's just like, you know, people that know how to do what they're doing. So we're going to go right to President Trump at his first cabinet meeting. You're going to see firsthand. You're going to see who it is, what position they have, what their name is. So you know how to pray for them and also support them. But let's join President Trump at the White House at his first cabinet meeting. Take a look.
I think what we'll do, most of you know most of the people around the room, but I'm going to start with our vice president. Where is our vice president? Our vice president. There he is. And I'll maybe start with Mike, and we'll just go around and just you name your position, and then we'll ask these folks to go back and have a good day, and we're going to discuss our various reports. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. President, and just the greatest privilege of my life is to serve as vice president to a president who's keeping his word to the American people and assembling a team that's bringing real change, real prosperity, real strength back to our nation.
Thank you, Mike.
Mr. President, it's great to be here and celebrate this group. We are receiving, as you know, I'm not sure the rest of you fully understand the support with law enforcement all over America. They have been very frustrated. They are so thrilled that we have a new idea that we're going to support them and work together to properly, lawfully fight the rising crime that we're seeing. It's an honor to be able to serve you in that regard. You set the exact right message, and it's being responded. The response is fabulous around the country.
Great success, including MS-13. They're being thrown out in record numbers and rapidly. And they're being depleted. They'll all be gone pretty soon. So you're right, Jeff. Thank you very much. Alex?
Mr. President, privileged to be here, deeply honored, and I want to thank you for keeping your commitment to the American workers. This week is a full schedule for you, focusing on the American worker. We're very excited at the Department of Labor. And the apprenticeship program that you're going to be announcing, I think, is going to make a real difference. So thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Mr. President, honored to be on the team. This last week, I had the great privilege to represent America at China at the Green Energy Ministerial. Good timing. They needed to hear why America was stepping away from the Paris Accord, and they did, and that America is not stepping back, but we're stepping into place and sending some messages that we're still going to be leaders in the world when it comes to the climate, but we're not going to be held hostage to some executive order that was ill thought out. So my hat's off to you for taking that stand and for sending a clear message around the world that America is going to continue to lead in the area of energy.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a new day at the United Nations. You know, we now have a very strong voice.
people know what the United States is for, they know what we're against, and they see us leading across the board. And so I think the international community knows we're back.
Thank you, Nick.
Mr. President, thank you for the kind words about the budget. You're absolutely right. We are going to be able to take care of the people who really need it. At the same time, with your direction, we were able to also focus on the forgotten man and woman who are the folks who are paying those taxes. So I appreciate your support and your direction in pulling that budget together.
Thank you, Nick.
Good morning, Mr. President. It's good to be back in the United States. I actually arrived back this morning at 1 o'clock from Italy on the G7 summit focused on the environment. And our message there was the United States is going to be focused on growth and protecting the environment. It was received well.
Good job.
Morning, Mr. President. The intelligence community has never faced such a diversity of threats to our country in our lifetimes. We have men and women who are working 24/7, 7 days a week. To make sure that we are on top of all these threats. It's a joy to be working with the people that I have inherited, and we are going to continue to provide you with the very best intelligence we can so that you can formulate policies to deal with these issues.
Thank you, Jim.
Mr. President, it's a privilege to serve the students of this country, and to work to ensure that every child has an equal opportunity to get a great education and therefore a great future.
President, what an incredible honor it is to lead the Department of Health and Human Services at this pivotal time under your leadership. I can't thank you enough for the privilege that you've given me and the leadership that you've shown. Seems like there's an international flair to the messages that are being delivered. I had the opportunity to represent the United States at the G20 Health Summit in Berlin and at the World Health Assembly in Geneva, and I can't tell you how excited and enthusiastic folks are about the United States leadership as it relates to global health security.
Thank you.
Mr. President, as your seal on your staff, and it's an honor to be your steward of our public lands and the generator of energy dominance. I am deeply honored, and I am committed and optimistic that we can be both great stewards and be the world's largest producer of energy.
Good. And you can do both. Thank you very much. Thanks. Rex?
Mr. President, thank you for the honor to serve the country. It's a great privilege you've given me. Clearly, we are engaged with our allies to ensure that they know where our common interests lie, what our expectations are, that America will continue to be a leader, but they must do more. And they must meet their obligations, both from a national security standpoint, but also for creating conditions of stability, prosperity, and for our adversaries. We are engaging and will engage, but they have to know that we will be engaging from a position of strength to protect America's national interest, and we expect to make progress on resolving some of these differences.
Mr. President, it's an honor to represent the men and women of the Department of Defense, and we are grateful for the sacrifices our people are making in order to strengthen our military, so our diplomats always negotiate from a position of strength. Thank you.
Mr. President, thank you for the opportunity to help fix the trade deficit and other things. The other countries are gradually getting used to the fact that the free rides are somewhat over with. They're not happy with it, but I think they have a growing recognition of it. So I'm thrilled to have a chance to help you live up to your campaign promises.
Good. Thank you, Wilbur.
Mr. President, last week was a great week. It was Infrastructure Week. Thank you so much for coming over to the Department of Transportation. Hundreds and hundreds of people were just so thrilled, hanging out, watching the whole ceremony. I want to thank you for getting this country moving again, and also working again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, proud to be here. Certainly very proud to represent the quarter of a million men and women that served the country in DHS. In the 5 months that I've been in the job, we have gone a long way to facilitate the, improve the legal movement of people and commerce across our borders, yet at the same time have gone a long way to safeguarding our borders, particularly the southern border. Working with all of our partners to the south, 70% drop in illegal immigration. While we still welcome legal immigrants to the tune of over a million a year, we are no longer a friendly environment for illegal border crossers.
Thank you.
Mr. President, first of all, I apologize for being late for work. In about 4 months, I got bogged out in that swamp that you've been trying to clean. I also have traveled. I just got back from Paris, where we met with the OECD and the WTO both, and the message was similar to Wilbur's. It was, deficits do matter, and ours are coming down.
I know they are.
Good morning, Mr. President. Thank you for the opportunity to serve at SBA, and I can tell you that as I haven't been traveling internationally, but I've been traveling around the country, and what I'm continuing to hear is this renewed optimism from small businesses, higher than it's been in about 16 years. So those people returning to the workforce, a lot of them are because small businesses are creating new jobs. So loan portfolios are up, mentoring and our outreach with SCORE and our other programs are being so successful. So thank you. We're on a good trajectory and still a lot of work to do.
Thank you.
On behalf of the entire senior staff around you, Mr. President, we thank you for the opportunity and the blessing that you've given us to serve your agenda and the American people, and we're continuing to work very hard every day to accomplish those goals.
Mr. President, it's an honor to serve as your CIA director. It's an incredible privilege to lead the men and women who are providing intelligence so that we can do the national security mission. And in the finest tradition of the CIA, I'm not going to say a damn thing in front of the media.
Here.
Mr. President, thank you for your support and commitment to honoring our responsibility to America's veterans. I know that this is personally very important to you. I have the great honor of being able to represent the 21 million American veterans that have done such great things for this country, and I've worked every day to make sure that we're honoring that responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, it's been a great honor to work with you. Thank you for your strong support of HUD and for all others around this table that I've worked with. We're making tremendous progress and converting to a business model. I've already seen tremendous savings there. And this month is National Homeowners Month, and therefore I'll be ringing the bell on Wall Street at 4 o'clock, which means I got to leave at 12. Thanks.
Good morning, Mr. President. While we're bragging about international travel, I just got back from Mississippi. I love you there. And I want to congratulate you on the men and women you've placed around this table. The holistic team of Working for America is making results in each and every area. Working with Secretary Ross and Ambassador Lighthizer and Secretary Mnuchin and Tom Price and Scott Pruitt. This is a team you've assembled that's working hand in glove for the betterment of America. And I want to thank you for that. These are great team members, and we're on your team.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. It was a great honor traveling with you around the country for the last year, and an even greater honor to be here serving in your cabinet. On behalf of everybody at the Treasury, I can assure you we are focused on creating sustained economic growth, sweeping tax reform, and fighting terrorism with sanctions and all other programs within our control.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
That's so exciting. You think about that kind of ability to lead and to handle finance and to handle security. I mean, the illegal border crossings have already dropped by 70% on the southern border. The unemployment rates dropped down, I believe, as low as 10 years ago, almost a decade ago. The economy is rising. Everything's taking place. And it's only been 5 months. Obviously, this is something the Lord is doing in our nation, and that was an amazing cabinet. What took them so long to come together for their first cabinet meeting was that Congress was delaying all of their approvals, not all of them, most of them, and that's why he said he was late for work, one of the particular guys on the cabinet right there. If you don't know about the cabinet, these are the people that come around the president that help him lead all the parts of the government, your government, so we need to pray for them. I have an offer for you. When we come back from this break and this offer, listen, we want to be able to talk about what Warren Buffett's saying about the awesome economy and what's happening in America, that you want to bet on America because great things have happened and great things are going to happen. But first, we have this offer for you for your partnership of any amount. Take a look.
Offer 2035. Code Red, confronting sin before it conquers you. When a shark locks into its prey, its eyes roll back into its head and takes away its ability to see. In this message, we'll see how an entire community went into code red, just like a shark, losing their ability to see the dangers their sin was going to cause. We'll discover in this message, although there was great sin, how God made attempt after attempt to show them mercy, and they missed it because of their blind rage. Yet God still rescues some of the community just because He is good and full of mercy. It's important to recognize how the adversary attempts to tempt us to sin and how to recognize the call of God to us personally when He is desiring to rescue us by His mercy. You'll also learn some key strategies for being able to make a preemptive plan to help you to keep from going into Code Red, like those sharks, and lose the ability to see spiritually what is taking place. Finally, you'll be blessed when you see just how merciful God is and how He sees generations ahead of us and how He plans to demonstrate just how merciful He is. For God is good and merciful. We want to send this offer to you for a free gift of any amount. You can partner with us by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us by writing to VFNTV at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's 2035. Code Red, confronting sin before it conquers you.
TV. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can you wear religious symbols on t-shirts to public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I want to know if my daughter can wear a t-shirt related to that, will cause any problems at the school.
Expressive t-shirts that have a religious or political message are protected in the school setting. And the Supreme Court, in the case called Tinker, said that neither teachers nor students surrender the rights to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. And about 2 years ago, I argued the campaign finance case, a portion of it, before the Supreme Court. I represented actually students. And we argued that that Tinker standard on free speech, which would allow kids to wear Christian t-shirts or t-shirts with a message on it, is protected. And the court unanimously readopted that Tinker standard. They hadn't done it in about 20 years, but they reincorporated the Tinker standard. So the law is really very good on that right now as far as student expression.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome to A Minute with Maxwell. The word today is pride, and Jeremy from St. Charles, Missouri has sent it in. He's a CEO of Creative Energy Officer of his organization. And Jeremy, it's a question that has many times caused leaders to fall because the pride that they had allowed their ego to get big, and all of a sudden they kind of felt that the universe kind of went around them, and pretty soon everything was coming their way and they wanted everything to be their way. And instead of investing in helping others, they felt that others should just be serving and helping them. There's a pride that helps and there's a pride that hurts. The pride that hurts is when I put myself before others. That always is damaging to a leader's relationship with his people. The pride that helps is a pride that I have in doing my work well, being a person that is effective, being a person of excellence, setting the bar high for the standard that I have to perform in and to lead in. One pride helps, one pride hurts. Don't get them confused. One will make you, one will break you.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, this is going to be a breakthrough year, the beginning of breakthrough. And who better to listen to than Warren Buffett? He is a Fortune 500 list of wealthiest businessmen. He's number 2 in America, with Berkshire Hathaway being the company that he leads. And if you buy stock in his company, I believe it's over $250,000 a share. to be able to buy a stock in his company. This is a man who knows what's taking place. And so the Lord told us that economic breakthrough is going to be happening in America, but we're seeing it take place, but we're hearing it, the evidence of that, by hearing what Warren Buffett's saying about the economy. As a matter of fact, let's listen now.
The stock market's booming. Unemployment rate is what, as low as it's been in 15, 16 years. But we're still not seeing the growth that people would like to see. What's going on?
The economy is doing well, but all Americans aren't doing well. But we've got $57,000 or $58,000 of GDP per person in the United States. That is a lot of stuff.
And yet the growth, the rate of growth,
yeah,
is what, 2%?
2%.
President Trump is saying we're going to get it up a lot higher than that. Is that doable?
Well, it may be. Occasionally it happens. But no, I don't think probably on average we'll have that kind of growth. But 2% does wonders for you, Judy. I mean, if you take 2%, we have a 0.5% population growth and we have a little immigration. But 2% in one generation will add $19,000 of GDP per person. Family of four, $76,000 in one generation. So your children and children's children and all that, they'll live far, far, far better than we live with 2% growth.
Well, let me then ask you about a little bit about the employment picture, because it is, as you said, low unemployment. People, a lot of people have jobs. At the same time, we're told the labor participation rate is lower than what the experts,
yeah,
like it to be. More people are leaving jobs than are joining.
Yeah.
Are we seeing some kind of shift?
Well, we always see shifts in employment. I mean, if you think about it, if you go back to 1800, it took 80% of the labor force to produce enough food for the country. Now it takes less than 3%. Well, the truth is that market systems move people.
Isn't that amazing? It took 80% of the workforce back then to grow the food, and now it's being grown with 3% of the workforce. The exciting thing is, even though it's amazing how these newscasters were so negative, so quiet about the numbers and the unemployment rate and all the things taking place, now they're bringing it up, but it's the lowest unemployment rate, some of the reports are, since 1994 or something like that, 1996. And the market's just churning, and it's just so positive. As a matter of fact, when you think about some of the prophetic words we got was economic crash and things taking place like that. But it's looking like what the Lord's told us, that mercy just came in and he shifted everything. And so when God shows mercy, we have to understand, even though we were going in a direction that we deserved and we don't deserve the good things that are coming our way, when he gives us mercy, which means potentially that just like Warren Buffett's saying, the economy is going to do good. 19,000 GDP, that's gross domestic product, which means we're producing that much more product per citizen in America, that much more. So you think all the stuff we have now, and that's one thing he always talks about, we're just going to keep producing stuff and more stuff and more stuff. And so it's exciting to see that even the second richest man in America is confirming what the Lord said about what will be taking place, economic blessing. But what does he say about the stock market? Because one of the prophetic words we got about the stock market was there's going to be a sudden crash. But is that before the mercy? Well, look at what he's saying about how the stock market's doing, and it goes up and it goes down. Check it out. This is Warren Buffett.
Let me ask you about a couple of questions about markets, investing. I mean, nobody knows markets better than you do. I think you said earlier this year that you weren't worried that the market was in a bubble because interest rates were staying low. As you know, the Federal Reserve is starting to raise them. Do you still feel the market is not in a bubble?
Well, anything can happen in markets. I mean, I bought my first stock in 1942. In the spring of 42, I was 11 years old. And so 75 years have gone by, and I've never known what the market's going to do the next day. And that's not my game. My game is to decide whether I'm in the right economy, which America has definitely been ever since that time. The Dow has gone from 100 to 21,000 during that time. And no matter what the headlines say, you know, terrible things are happening. We were losing the war in the Pacific when I first bought stocks. So America's going to do fine over time. American business is going to do fine over time. Occasionally, we go off the tracks with bubbles like and a lot of human error and that sort of thing. But it'll never permanently derail us. And I don't try and guess when to get in and out of the market. I've owned stocks consistently since 1942. I was buying stocks the day before the election. I was buying the same stocks the day after election. And if Hillary had been elected, it would have been the same thing.
That's so important to understand. This is a man who understands finance. He understands the economy. He didn't even vote for the president, so he's not biased in the context of that. And he's going, it's great. Everything's wonderful. We are doing better. We're going to have 19,000 gross domestic product more for the in the next few years. And it's like, my God, it's just amazing what's taking place. Now, look at this. And so the question is, should you bet on America? Well, when God shows mercy and he begins to bless a nation, and that's what he's talking about. We talked about the coming wealth transfer. I mean, we have to really pay attention to finance and what's taking place. We got to learn how to manage millions so we can begin to do the work of millions of dollars worth of work in the kingdom of God. So the question is, should we bet on America? Well, let's listen to what the second richest man in America has to say.
Your investment decisions over time have been remarkably right much of the time, most of the time. Today, as people look at you and look at the decisions that you've made, what mainly should people take away?
They should be willing to bet on America. They should not listen to a lot of jabbering about what the market's going to do tomorrow or next week or next month, because nobody knows. They should just keep buying and buying and buying a little bit of America as they go along. And 30 or 40 years from now, they'll have a lot of money.
30 or 40 years, I'll have a lot of money. Listen, it's just, God's just blessing us. We're blessed to be a blessing. And get ready, because this coming wealth transfer that you heard at the beginning of this program from Pastor John Kilpatrick, God prophetically spoke through him and released that word. So the wealth transfer is coming to be able to win souls into the kingdom of God. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to hear firsthand the breakthroughs at the Supreme Court. Remember that we prayed about the Supreme Court, that we lost Antonin Scalia, and he passed away, and we needed a Supreme Court judge, justice, and we didn't know who was going to be president. But one of the promises that President Trump made, that he would put a conservative in, that was in the lineage of Antonin Scalia, and guess what? He did, and we have two and three possible victories right now in the Supreme Court. And we'll talk about those. If you're interested in seeing First Amendment and religious liberty defended, you're going to want to join us after the break. Join us after the break.
TV. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFNTV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. And we have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching. Welcome back. I'm telling you, if you were in, remember where we came from, do you remember how difficult it was with the Supreme Court rulings and the rulings that were coming out that just seemed totally contradictory to God and contradictory towards the Constitution and the way of life in America? And you thought, will things turn around? Well, it did. I mean, God heard our prayers and put a man in office who was going to put a Supreme Court justice that was conservative, and that's exactly what he did, Gorsuch. And this was his first cases that he heard. And guess what? The very first case he heard was about, remember that the first thing the president did was try to protect us from people coming over our borders from countries who don't have ability to vet the people that are coming, that they could be possible terrorists coming into our country. And judges over in the West court said that it was unconstitutional, which wasn't true, because the president has the right to be able to protect us. That's one of the big jobs of the presidents, to be able to protect our borders, protect us from people that wanted to harm our country. Well, guess what? It made it to the Supreme Court, and the president won. That executive order was approved, almost every bit of it. Take a look.
A triumph for President Donald Trump. In a matter of hours, he can implement his executive order on immigration, 5 months after he signed his name to it. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear his appeal of the so-called travel ban after a number of federal courts blocked it. The court is also allowing the administration to implement most of its 90-day ban on travelers from six Muslim-majority countries that the Trump administration believes pose potential terrorism threats to America's security, overturning the lower courts that blocked it.
This is a huge victory for President Trump. It's the first legal validation of his controversial executive order since he signed it just 1 week into his presidency.
In a statement, he says, "As president, I cannot allow people into our country who want to do us harm. The ruling allows me to use an important tool for protecting our nation's homeland." The court order does allow travelers with a credible claim of a relationship with a person in the U.S. to come into the country.
This is so important. I don't, you remember on our program, if you were with us, that Kamal Saleem of Qum Ministries, who was a former radical jihadist terrorist, that got saved powerfully. You have all of his testimony on the VFN torch at VFNTV.com. He said that Border Patrol was telling him that thousands and thousands of radical jihadist terrorists were coming over our borders. And so the president wanted to just stop that. Well, first of all, his very presence and the presence of Kelly, General Kelly, and the other ones that are in leadership right now, it dropped by 70% already in the borders of the southern borders of America. And so God is answering that prayer. Big things are taking place. But also, did you notice over the last 8 years, prior to this presidency, that Christianity became like a second-class citizen? It was being pushed out of the mainstream and being talked about as if, you know, that God's not real, that Jesus is not his son, and that's not that relevant, and that we're not a Judeo-Christian nation. And by the way, if there's going to be any federal money given out, churches cannot get it. Religious organizations cannot get any federal monies. Well, guess what? The Supreme Court, the Gorsuch Court just went in. The Supreme Court just ruled that's not true, that Christians cannot be treated like second-class citizens, that we're available for everything being offered to Americans. You as a Christian, as a church, as a religious organization, you can get it too. They just ruled on it. Check it out.
Fair play won today.
The Supreme Court also delivered a victory for religious liberty. The court ruled 7-2 in favor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Missouri. The church applied for a grant the state was offering to nonprofits to install a safer rubber surface on their playgrounds. Missouri denied the grant to the church because it's a religious institution, insisting it shouldn't get money from the state. The Supreme Court reversed the decision, calling it odious to our Constitution.
Believers, like all people, want equality.
And that's what this court decision has given us today, is that when the government creates a program, religious people can't be told to stay outside, that we're second-class citizens.
That's so exciting. I mean, the minimalization of Christians in the last 8 years was amazing what was taking place. And Christianity was being marginalized. Mayors in Houston was demanding the sermons of pastors to be able to turn them in. It was going to be illegal if they didn't turn them in. Well, of course, the governor, you know, Greg Abbott of Texas, he actually signed a law into existence to protect First Amendment rights of pastors, that nobody can demand their sermons. Although, if you want mine, I'll be glad to be able to give you mine. I actually want you to hear, you know, what the Lord's laying on my heart. This is exciting. This new Supreme Court, they're taking on cases they haven't taken on before. I mean, for the last 8 years, they just kind of didn't want to have any issues come before the court that had to do with conservative issues, that had to do with family. They just kind of pushed it away. And the things that came were like liberal issues. Well, now they're taking them on. And listen to what they said, that this particular ruling, that we just made over this, you know, church having a playground, wanting to apply for the federal grant to be able to change out the foundation of the playground to put some rubber stuff down to keep them from hurting. This is what Gorsuch says. Gorsuch says, we want this ruling to be spread all over the country so everybody understands that Christians have a right just like everybody else. Take a look.
It was the first religious rights case heard by Justice Neil Gorsuch. In a separate opinion, Gorsuch, joined by Justice Clarence Thomas, clarified that the case should be applied broadly throughout the country to make clear discrimination against religious practice isn't tolerated on the playground or anywhere else.
That's amazing. That's so huge. So he's saying, listen, we want everybody to know about this ruling, that Christians, that you're a citizen. I mean, you are a citizen. You are protected like everybody else is protected. And everything that's available from your tax dollars is also available to you. And the very fact that you're a Christian doesn't rule that out. The fact that you're a church doesn't rule that out. And that's a huge ruling. And we just got to praise God for that, because things are coming back in alignment again, including the Johnson Amendment. Remember when the president came in, we talked about that, that he actually dealt with the Johnson Amendment, which basically says that nonprofit 501c3s, they cannot say anything about anything political or have a voice. Well, he said he literally wrote an executive order and said for the IRS to back off, you know, enforcing the Johnson Amendment the way they were doing it over the churches. So you have a voice. You can speak up in all areas, thanks to our current president. And finally, the Supreme Court is going to be facing in the fall the issue that came from the Baker. Do you remember the Baker in Colorado? That you know, he had a lot of different clients from his community, all different walks of life. He had gay clients that came in. And he provided bakery products for them, and everything was taken. Everything was fine, but all of a sudden, two people walked into his bakery and said, "Listen, we're going to get married, and we want you to do the wedding cake." And for him, it was a violation of what he believed in. He loved them, but he didn't want to be able to bake that cake and what it represented. What he didn't think that was right. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were told to bow down, I mean, everybody was bowing down, but they had the conviction that I just can't do this. First Amendment protects that, but he got sued, he got fined. But guess what? This case is coming before the Supreme Court in the fall. Take a look.
The court also announced it will weigh in on another issue important to Christians and other people of faith this fall. The justices agreed to hear a case to consider whether a baker can refuse to make a wedding cake for a gay couple because he objects to same-sex marriage based on his Christian beliefs.
This is so important for to understand that, you know, First Amendment, you know, whatever your faith is, I mean, people can literally have conscientious objection and say, listen, my faith says I cannot take life and I cannot go to war. And we actually let those people not go serve in the military, even if a draft is taking place, because we believe in a person's faith, the First Amendment right. Because the First Amendment says the government shall make no laws concerning religion, which means if your religion trumps government, then you go with the religion, what it says. Now, there's some that's not it's a political movement. That's not what this is. But this is like faith, your faith in God. And for him, he was convicted. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we get back from the break, because, you know, one person may be convicted over something and another person may not. But when God is convicting your heart to do something or not to do something, it's very, very important for you to be able to do that. Also, we're not going to have time to be able to talk about that. But I want to say this. You know, if you get a chance, read Romans chapter 14, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 14. And he talks about, you know, some people are weak, some people are strong, some people do this, some people don't do this. But he said, listen, if you know it's wrong, you feel it's wrong in your heart and you do it, that's sin. And so when you have that conviction by God, and maybe, you know, God wanted him to make the stand up for this, then he has to go with God, and we should support that. And that's coming up in fall for that to be able to happen. So Romans chapter 14, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were told by government to be able to bow down to this particular idol. And they said, we just can't do that. Even if you throw us in the fire, we can't do it, because it would be before God us doing that. You know, and so he was going to throw them in the fire. And they did get thrown in the fire, but God protected them from the fire. But their conviction was, I cannot do this. And when they stood in their conviction, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guess what? The government changed their laws, because they found out when they threw them through the fire, they threw them in the fire, that they didn't even get burnt, because God was with them and say, listen, we want to honor their gods. As a matter of fact, I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord God. We just thank you for all these things turning around, the blessing over our nation. We pray a blessing over our audience. God, that you would bring encouragement their way and help them to see that you're bringing mercy on this nation. And there's so many good things in store. You have a wealth transfer that's taking place, just like Buffett was talking about. Great things are in store. Lord, blessed to be a blessing, Father God. Thank you for that. Lord, and I ask you right now, Lord, that you would end abortion in this land. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me, and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person.
Yes.
Another person. It's living and active.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen,